You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church or other additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
One of the things that I get to sometimes chuckle at whenever I talk to people, for example, I just talked to a gentleman a couple of weeks ago, and when I was talking to him, he kept on being apologetic in what he was saying to me. He kept on being apologetic about, no, Pastor, you probably don't know that. You probably have never gone through that. And so he was talking about, man, like my life, I've been through drugs, I've been through this, I've been through that. And he kept on apologizing and saying, man, you probably have never been there. And I stopped him for a second. And I said, man, listen, I remember there was a time when I used to be so much in pain that I would try to drown all my sorrows, and I would wake up in a ditch, drunk and having forgotten myself. And he stopped and he said, whoa, is that really you? Did that happen to you? And for a second, you saw his guard just come down, because all of a sudden he recognized that I've been where he is at. I've been to where he is at. And there's a tendency sometimes when it comes to our heroes, people that we look up to, especially in the church, whether it's people that are pastors and all that, there's a tendency sometimes to look at where they are and never keep in mind as well that they've been through somewhere first before they got to where they are. There's always that tendency. And so for us, we're starting this series on faith. Abraham is a great man in the Bible. He's a great man in the Bible. If you really read it, for example, in Hebrews, he's the father of faith. In Romans, he's an example of all that are going to believe so that righteousness can be imputed to us. In Romans, he's an example, the first example of a man who did nothing and he got everything, but he just believed. And so the Bible in Romans 4 says that if we follow his footsteps, believe everything. In chapter 5, verse 1 says that, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, made right with God, just simply by believing, just like Abraham did, we have peace with God. And then not only that, in James it says that Abraham is the man who exercised faith, but he put works in there, so he becomes even an example for us, even like when it comes to mission, for us to put our footsteps behind our faith, to believe and to act. But you know, when we look at Abraham through those lens, a lot of times we forget about his background. We look at him, and all of us in here, whether you were born in Africa like me, whether you're from the Caribbean, whether you're from wherever you're from, you remember singing that song, Father Abraham, right? You remember singing that song, and that's a song that we all sang. But the truth of the matter is that figure looms so large that we forget that he has a background. He has a background that God had to work through. So when we, and so now what happens is that now when we look at our own backgrounds, like this gentleman I was talking to, when we look at our own backgrounds and we look at what we've gone through, we end up just disqualifying ourselves from being useful to God. Because we look across the room and we're saying, he's doing better than me, so therefore I don't think I could ever mount up to anything. You felt like that, right? And I won't lie to you, there are preachers that are doing way better than me in my eyes. And sometimes it's almost like you look across the room and you say, maybe he's got senior Holy Spirit and I've got junior. Maybe, you know, I don't know what's going on here. God, why don't you use me like them? And at every level, there's always this comparison. But yet there is this beautiful thing that God gives us, which is called faith. Faith is an equalizer. Faith is, it's just basically, like, it's so beautiful because faith, it says no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, through faith you're equally accepted as sons and daughters before God. And so faith equalizes everything. And it says that because of faith, listen to this, because of faith, God can take our lives, transform them from whatever background, and he can. So before God, you and I stand on level ground as sons and daughters. Not only that, it's through faith that we please and glorify God. He gives us tasks and things to do, and that we are called to be faithful, to believe in him and to walk with him in those things. And not only that, sometimes we are also called to keep on looking to Jesus. This is one of the reasons why we attend church. This is one of the reasons why we come and listen to the Word of God, so that we can recalibrate, keep on looking to Jesus, the beginner, the founder, and the perfecter of our faith. So it's when we come and we sing songs together and we remind ourselves, because sometimes we even forget, right? Sometimes we forget. We forget even how to get to our own restroom sometimes. Right? So it's easy to forget stuff, but it's through faith that we continually are looking to Jesus. We're continually renewed and we're transformed from one degree of glory to another, despite whatever our backgrounds are. So what I want us to do here is that I want us to look at Abraham. I want us to look at him as children of Abraham. This is a man that teaches us one thing that I want us to look at today, that God uses, he touches, he kind of finds ordinary men and he turns them into extraordinary men. He finds men and women like you and me, and he actually works. It's through faith that he works in us and he makes us extraordinary. And not only that, it's a God who showed up in the same God. Genesis is a book of beginnings. The same God who showed up in a dark and void world, which was basically unformed and unfilled, can walk into any background and he can transform it and fill it with his glory. He can transform it and fill it with his glory. So with that said, go with me to Genesis chapter 11, verse 27. Let me show you this. In Hebrew, there's something that they call the Toledot. The Toledot, which is basically like, it shows you in Genesis where the books that were written by different generations. So for example, you will see like verse 27, it says, "Now these are the generations of Terah." Every family was responsible to take and document their own generations. And so Moses takes all these books and compiles the book of Genesis. By the time you get to chapter 25, it's going to say, these are the generations of Isaac. And then when you're going in, so the Bible kind of just like, you will find all these little breaks where they're saying, these are the generations. So the story of Abraham, usually a lot of people start in chapter 12, but it actually starts right here. It starts right here. And if we don't consider this, we'll always just look at Abraham and we'll always just, we will not understand him clearly. So listen to this. "Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot." Lot is going to be useful later on. "Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred in the Ur of Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai," right? And that's going to be important as well. Sarai, "and then the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah." Verse 30. "Now Abraham was barren." Now Sarah was barren. Okay, sorry about that. "She had no child," and that's very important as well to note. Verse 31, "Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, and his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter in-law, so his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there." Verse 32, "The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." So this right here is what we're going to be focusing on. And I want to introduce you to Abraham's background. As we look at Abraham's background, and the truth of the matter is that, like, when we're reading that, this is usually the part that we skip because it's just got a couple of names in there. But I just want to read it. If we understand this, we're going to understand the man Abraham. We're going to understand even some of the struggles that he has. We're going to understand some of the fumbles that he has in his walk with God. So what I want us to see is his background. It wasn't what we would expect. So Abraham had a spiritual background. Let's look at his spiritual. And so he was not from a godly home. He was not from a godly home. So we sing Father Abraham, but he was not from a godly home. And in fact, the name of his father, Terah, was a name that was common in those days associated with the gods that were there in the lands. It was, and so Terah, in fact, according to the Jewish tradition, they say that Terah was actually a manufacturer of idols. He used to sell idols. I'm talking about, like, so at one point you would find, they say Babylon around that time was a very polytheistic society. There was many gods, as many as 300. And so what he would basically do is that he would set up shop and he would have more than 300 gods in his shop and they would sell them. So can you imagine little Abraham waking up and just looking at all that? And in fact, looking at all these gods, and they say that in fact Terah settled down and he believed in this one god called Suen. It's a Suen or Sin. He was a moon god, and so they believed in the moon god and in this moon god. So if you were to imagine the life of Abraham, he's waking up at night and he's watching his dad is dragging him with him, and they're going and they're looking at the moon and they're worshiping the moon to do everything for them. So they were idolaters at some point. That's surely not the Father Abraham that we sing about, right? We didn't know he has a background, right? And in fact, later on, it's going to be very important. It's going to be very important as an example. Remember the original audience, the children of Israel that have been rescued from Egypt, and they are moving towards the promised land. And later on, Joshua is going to stand, and he's going to point them back to this story. When the people are being tempted to follow idols, he says, no, God delivered us from these same idols. Look at Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. And you get to see this. If you're asking, you're saying, where is that in the Bible where Terah actually followed other idols? Look at this. Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. This is God speaking. Long ago, your fathers lived beyond Euphrates. Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, and they served what? Other gods. And so God knew what they were doing. Look at this background. God knew that they were not even after him. This is where grace comes in. They were not even after him. They wanted nothing to do with him. They were serving other gods at this moment. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made offspring of many. I gave him Isaac. So, can you see what's going on here? Abraham has a spiritual background. And if you actually go deep into the history, you'd find out that this was a degrading religion that mixed magic and mixed superstition and prostitution inside. It mixed all those things, and this is what Abraham found himself in. But God, in his mercy, rich in mercy, called him out of that. Called him out of that. And so you see Abraham, the first obstacle he had was a spiritual background. Some of us are coming from homes that have been like, that had no God as the center of that. So you can't discredit that. But my God is able to call you out of that. Amen? And let's look at, he had this economic background. And so a lot of times they would say that, no, you're only following God simply because you just need something from him. If you really get to understand Abraham, this is a guy who needed nothing. He was from this city called Ur. Ur of the Chaldeans was, in fact, around that time, Ur of the Chaldeans was, they called it a civilized city that was so rich. In fact, the guys that go and excavate and the archaeologists, they found remainings from those from that time of Abraham. They found these royal tombs and they found out even more about that. They found out that this was a city that had a big library. You know what that means? A city that had a library around that time, that was a rich city. They had a library. Not only that, they had invented their own plumbing system. They had invented their own heating system. And this was like a very beautiful city. And it's one of the Old Testament theologians, Tremper Longman, he writes this down. He says, to hear the name Ur in the ancient Near East would have had the same effect as hearing New York City, London, Tokyo, and some major center of civilization. And he goes on and he says, in other words, Ur was a difficult city to leave. Right, he concludes this and he says, the decision to leave Ur, cosmopolitan Ur, involved a great deal of trust. Compared to Ur, Canaan was a very rough area. So he's in this place. And then they move from there and they go to Haran. So they move. They go to Haran, and it's in fact it's almost as if God shows up to him, and he calls both of them. He calls his dad and his son, and he calls them out and says, "Let's go." Commentators actually they struggle with that. They say, "Did he call Abraham by himself?" But you know, Stephen in the New Testament, Acts chapter 7, verse 2. Let's look at this. Acts chapter 7, verse 2, Stephen says something very interesting. He says this, he says, brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. So actually God showed up before he went to Haran. So it kind of gives us almost like a very good reason for why they moved from Ur. They moved because God moved them. God moved them. But the problem that was there is that they went to Haran. And Haran was this city. In fact, it was established by commentators say that it was established by Abraham's son, the other one, the one who passed away. So he goes there and he tries to go settle the estate of his son there. But this is actually a very, very strategic city. Haran was very strategic because it means crossroads. Haran meant crossroads, and it was a meeting place of trade routes between Nineveh and then Aleppo. Some of us have heard of Aleppo recently. It was so you had Aleppo to Nineveh to the east, Aleppo to the west, and then there was Babylon and Ur to the south. And then they came here. So listen to what Stephen says. Brothers, the God of glory appeared to our father, and when he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, go out from your land and from your kindred and into the land that I will show you. And he went out of the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into the land which you are now living. Right? So now the wrestle comes in. When did Haran die? When did Terah die? Because Stephen makes it sound like it was after he died, that's when Abraham moved. And there's interesting theories because the times don't add up. They don't add up. So God might have appeared to them, but then when they got to Haran, they settled. And Haran was noted for one thing. It had this beautiful temple where the moon god Sin was worshipped. And the Bible, in fact, some guys say that it is this fact that because Ur and Haran had something in common, the gods, so that's why Haran settled. He settled there. He settled there and he kept on postponing the trip to Canaan. So basically God called, he might have called both of them, but the father ended up just settling. He just settled there. And so one of the things is that, in fact, somebody actually noted this. They said it wasn't that Terah had died. He had actually, like, literally, it was this time that Terah was dead to God's will and plan for his life. He settled. He settled there, even though God was calling him out of there. And there's a reason why. It's a security reason. Why? Because another theologian, Walton, he says this, in ancient worlds, many deities, gods, were associated with land and people groups. The groups were portrayed respectively as territorial deities or patron deities. So there was boundaries to which, if I stay here, my God is still going to take care of me. But if I move out of here, I'm alone. I'm all alone. And so you could see Terah kind of thinking and saying, it's almost like a lot of people that God calls to the mission field and they just can't leave America. You hear me on this. It's a lot of people that God calls and says, hey, leave this lifestyle and come to me. And we just look at it and say, I just don't feel like it's safe there. It's just not safe there. And it says that Abraham is, when he's asked to leave his family and the land, the request entails walking away from territorial and patron gods. It was not just leave your land. It was leave your gods too. And his father chickened out. And he settled there. And so we kind of see this going on. And not only that, the temptation and the prosperity and the comfort of Haran were too great for Terah. They were too great. And so he basically settled there. He settled there. Let's look at another background here, the social background. Social background is the fact that, like, you see Abraham, he moves with his father to this place called Haran. And when he gets to this place, you see him now starting to wrestle because he wants to please his father. Starting to wrestle, and he knows what God has said to him. He wants to please people around him. And not only that, you see that he was very loyal to, he was loyal to his family. Not only that, he was loyal to Sarah, because Sarah has repeated twice that she was barren. And in those times, if you were barren as a lady, he could just get another wife. But he stayed with her. So he's loyal to his father. He's loyal. He's attached to his father. And he stays here. He stays here for a while. But the truth of that is that he ends up getting to move from there. He ends up getting. So if we could just apply this for a second. Let me just really kind of just talk. The truth is that, like, there's some. This right here is not the background we usually look at Abraham with. Can we agree with? We never considered it. And there are some things that we wish. And so let me just talk to some of us in here. There are some of us that have looked at our own backgrounds and we say, if only my background was like so-and-so's, I would be here. If only my background was like so-and-so's, I will be here. But the truth of the matter is that, like, we are just like Abraham. We're right at the crossroads where we have to make a decision. Make a decision. And the truth of the matter is that the move from Haran, as he started moving out, You know what happened there? It was either you stay here, you stay in where you've settled, in your sin, in your place, in where it's comfortable, or you move. And when you move, you can either pass this, the idols down generations, or you can move and go to where God is calling you, where through you all nations will be blessed. You can either move to this right here, pass down idols where God mocks them in Psalm 115. He says, but their God have mouths, but they don't speak. They have eyes, but they don't see. They've got ears, they don't hear. But our God, he's in heaven. He does whatsoever he pleases. And not unto us, but unto him be all the glory. Right? Our God moves. He answers prayer. Our God rescues. He saves. He's got steadfast love. He loves. He proves his love to us. It was through Abraham, through you, all nations will be blessed, through your seed. And he moved. And when he moved, he made that move. Right after he made that move, generations down, you find David through that same lineage. You find Jesus through that same lineage. You find our salvation through that lineage. And so I just want to really kind of just like talk to you for a second and say, where is God asking you to move in your life today? And that move could secure the faith of many generations to come in your family. You can either settle or you can move. You can either settle or you can move. And it's so interesting to see God's background to this. Like, look at this response to this background. And I love Acts chapter 7 verse 2. It says, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. You understand what happens there? It was not just the God. It was the God of glory who showed up. And in fact, if I was to say it was simply because the God of glory showed up, and there comes a moment where in the church, for example, ever wonder why some people's faith is flourishing and some people's faith is stagnant? So we have Terah and Abraham that might have heard the same call. But it is this God of glory that showed up, and Abraham saw something there. It could have been like when God of glory showed up to Moses, right? It could have been the God of glory who showed up to Isaiah, who actually fell down as if he was dead and said, I'm unclean. There's nothing good in me. And God says, I want you to do something for me. He's like, I'll do whatever, God. I will go, before he even heard the mission. Is it the same God? And in fact, it's probably the same. It's the same God who showed up in Paul's life. When Paul was headstrong, wanting to do his own thing, killing people, doing what he was doing, and this God of glory showed up. And in fact, Paul does kind of give us what this God of glory does. When you see him, he transforms everything. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 18. It says, 3:18, it says, we all with unveiled faces, look at this, when he comes and he unveils our faces, this our sin veils us, but when he comes and he unveils our faces through what he has done at the cross, right? Beholding the glory of the Lord. Look at this. There is no way you can behold the glory of God and not be transformed. Look at this. Transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from God who is the Spirit. So Paul is going to kind of poetically tell his story of salvation. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 5. Look at this in verse 5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves. But look at what he proclaims. But Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Look at what happens when the gospel, the good news of the glory of God happens. This is for God who said, you see what happens? For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of what? The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I wish I could walk through that with you for a second. It says that whenever you hear the good news of Jesus, it's almost like Abraham is at the crossroads. Every single one of us is at the crossroads. And the good news of Jesus, when God says, and in fact, this is what Stephen says. He says that God told him, go out from your land. Leave everything. Leave your security. Leave everything. Go out. Right? Chapter 12, we're going to be looking at next week. And God says, leave this place. And you know what? He stepped out. And he moved. And when he moved, this is the same call that you and I get to hear even today as I'm talking to you about Jesus. It says that when we preach the gospel of Jesus, God comes behind and he said, the God who said, let light shine out of darkness at creation has shone it in our hearts to give us the light. The light of what? The knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus. That is where it happens. In the face of Jesus. And so God found him where he was, but he did not leave him where he was. He found him where he was, didn't leave him there, and he couldn't settle there because he had seen something shinier than these cities. He couldn't say, listen, if you looked at what Canaan looked like then, and you compared it to Haran and Ur, it was like, I'm talking about Williamsport is probably better, right? Williamsport is, you're asking somebody to move from New York City right in the middle of like right in the middle of town. They live right in the middle, and you're asking them to go out to somewhere like maybe Canton or some, I don't know, you're asking them to go to a place that is just literally like, it's dry. And but yet it was not because of just his faith. It was his faith in a big God, in a great God. He had seen God. He had heard God. And he moved. So faith is a key here. And I love what St. Augustine says. He says this, faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. It's just to see it. So he moves. And it's so beautiful because, like, when you start seeing this, is that, like, he moves out of his background because he hears God calling him. And when he moves out of there, and it's so beautiful, he says, through you all nations will be blessed. This is what we now are being blessed in hearing the good news of Jesus. We're being blessed by that. And I love Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. It says this. Even though your background is screwed up, it's messed up, you are unqualified to walk into God's presence. Look at this verse. Giving thanks to the Father, our God, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his saints in light. Can you see that? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And there is no way, listen, there is no way you could stack up all your good works and say, God, I'm checking them in. I deserve to get into heaven now. He qualifies us through what he has done at the cross. He qualifies us. And it says that he qualifies us. So here we are today. Some of us are disappointed by maybe our past. And we just don't think God can work through us. But I'm here to kind of just say, even just kind of rewire your brain and say that if our God, who walked into a dark and void world and transformed it into something beautiful today, we paid thousands of dollars to go see the wonders he has made. If our God walked into a situation that dark, what more you? And if you walked into a world, and in a world in chapter 1, transformed it, walked into Abraham in chapter 12, transformed it, right? Abraham's life, and transformed it, he can now walk into our lives today, transform them. So that we can now as well affect generations to come. Amen? We can affect generations to come. And I want you to see that. In fact, I was just looking at Abraham's life. Nothing in Abraham's story was wasted when it was in God's hands. Nothing was wasted. He takes his background And he starts really working through that. Starts working through that. So God shaped his life through his background. He shaped a lot of things. And so, for example, you find that he used Sarah's barrenness to teach him trust. Right? He doesn't have, and he's calling, it's just, you have to understand, the promise God makes him, he says, leave here. It's almost as if like he says, leave here, I will make you a great nation, but I know you don't have kids yet. You're going to have to wait. And you see him kind of fumbling through everything, but God keeps his promise. Right? Leave here. And not only that, he makes him wait and wait and wait. And he waits long enough to the point where in chapter four of Romans, it says that his body was as good as dead. Meaning that he couldn't make any babies anymore. That's when God gave him a child, so that he will know that it was God who gave him that child. Right? And God worked through his circumstances. He worked through his background, his history. But not only that, he had the best society can offer. But God, we see true faith here as he walks away from all of it. Even when he knew that prosperity was behind him. But God still would prosper him. In fact, there's some things Abraham didn't get to see. He died before. But you know what? Here we are, almost 4,000 years later. 4,000 years later. And we today, everyone who calls themselves a Christian, is actually a child of Abraham. His blessings are still going. No wonder why we sing that song. Right? So let me close with this. This is a saying by a gentleman called Marvin Wilson, and he wrote a book called The Faith of Our Father Abraham. And he really kind of gives us a very good definition of what faith is. And let me just really ask you, there's a lot of places God is asking you to leave today and follow him into. Whether it's in your marriage, it's in your family, it's in your school, it's in your plans. Some of us have better plans than God's plans, right? I think it was, what's his name, Woody? He says, if you want to make God love, tell him your plans, right? Just like, think about this. So he says, to the Hebrew mind, therefore faith meant confidence. It was the capacity to enter life with courageous expectation. The person of faith did more than just believe in his heart and develop an attitude of trust. So this is not just saying it. Listen to this. He stepped out into life to act on that belief. His mental assurances and convictions were transformed into action. Look at this. And transformed into action. The person of faith was one who was so committed to do that like Abraham. He ventured into the unknown with full expectation. This is the key phrase. With full expectation that God would meet him there. God would meet him there. Thus, in the biblical sense, to have faith was to move out in life and know God would be there waiting. It was a call to step boldly into tomorrow, to embrace the new with confidence that every new day would prove to be a meeting place. Listen to this. Prove to be a meeting place with a holy and an eternal God. Isn't this beautiful? Every step would prove to be a meeting place with God. Some of us, our walks with God are stagnant because we've just not taken that step. He's been calling, and that would prove to be a meeting place between you and God. Whether it's financially, whether it's whatever it is, take that step, and God, man, you will see what God is going to do. Look at this. The opposite of faith was to cling. Listen to this. This is talking about almost terror, right? The opposite of faith was to cling desperately to yesterday, fearing that if one left it, one would leave God. So there is a way we can live in yesterday. When we met God yesterday, but yet God is calling you and saying, hey, there's more for you. There's more, there's more. Let me ask you to stand. As I pray for you this, I pray with you and for you this morning. I believe there's two things that God is doing today. First of all, He's calling some of us. He's calling to some of us to know Him. This is what John 1 verse 12 says. But to all who received, who did receive Him. So God comes and He calls to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name. Do you see where faith plays? Who believed in His name, in what He has done. God has said, listen, all your sins, everything you've ever done, He's taken it to the cross, nailed it with Jesus, and He has risen to the newness of life. And He's saying, listen, you get to experience freedom from your sins on my tab. And it says that if you believe that in His name, in what He has done, He gave the right to become children of God. It is just faith, trusting Him, letting go of yesterday and just stepping boldly and saying, God, from this day onwards, meet me here. This is what it is. He gave them the right to become children who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, but of the will of man, but of God. And some of us as well, God, so for you, you're a person who doesn't know Jesus. Today, He's calling you to make that step of faith. But then some of us as well, we're in this room. Maybe we've been Christians for a very long time, but we're just kind of in this rut. We're just experiencing this dry kind of, some of us maybe are just looking at the exit door and we're just thinking, hey, this thing is not working. How long? But you know what faith does? It strengthens you so that you can be able to be strong in this, in between this already but not yet, where He's made the promise and the fulfillment is not there yet. And it is only faith. In fact, Jesus says, when I come back, will I even find faith? It is this faith that helps us to keep running this race with endurance, looking forward to, looking at Jesus. And it says that, how do you renew that faith? Keep looking at Jesus. And He will continue to renew your faith. They that wait on the Lord, they that put their faith on the Lord, will what? Renew it. God will come. He will renew their strength. And they will keep on just mounting up. Right? They will keep mounting up. So I'm here to say to some of us, maybe God is calling you to serve Him in a certain way. And you've been just holding back. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to Him who is able. Listen to this. I want to just say, with your life, with your situation, with whatever, just if you could just trust Him one more day, every single day, to Him who's able to do, listen to this, far more abundantly than we can ask. He says He blows up your ask, right? Or think. He blows out whatever you think is the ideal in your head. According to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church today and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. May our generation experience this faith as well. So our background should never limit God or His purposes in our lives. Our backgrounds and whatever is going on in your life should become tools for God to move us into the next step. And I promise you, life will never be the same again. Let me pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For service times, additional audio, along with any other information about our church, please visit citychurchpa.org.